Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this week?
Good. You all recovered from Christmas?
Yes. Oof. Very good to be with you again.
Yes. Great to be here. We've celebrated the birth of Messiah, and I hope you all had a great Christmas Eve, Christmas Day.
Christmas week.
Christmas week. Yep. Whole Advent season, and now we're approaching New Year's, but let's not talk about that yet.
No.
Can't believe we're at the end of 2014.
Yeah.
Wow.
Goes by fast.
I think this year has gone faster than any other time that I can ever remember. Man, it's
sure
just
feels
flung
like
by.
It. Yeah. Sure feels like it.
And so here we are 3 days after Christmas, and everybody's probably exhausted. But anyway.
Refreshed and rejuvenated.
Refreshed and rejuvenated.
By the light of Christ.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of too bad that the Advent season actually got hijacked by the secular hysterical Christmas stuff that goes on. And by the time it actually gets to be December 25th, everybody's exhausted.
Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness.
Because, you know, the famous song, 12 Days of Christmas, Christmas actually starts the night of the 24th.
Exactly.
And goes to the Epiphany on January 6th.
Right.
But not in our day and time.
Well, it still does, but yeah, yeah. It is. It's been derailed.
Now it
derailed.
Starts around Halloween and goes.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And this great gift that's been given, you know, that's why I think it's so important that we as the body of believers celebrate this great gift that God has given humanity.
Yes. Yes. And it's, you know, we went through a lot of prophecies from the book of Isaiah talking about how the Messiah was coming and what was going to happen and even how he was going to be born from a virgin and all these unbelievable prophecies. And the important thing is that Messiah was born.
Yep.
As the Paul Wilbur says, Wilbur song says, you know, in a manger, Messiah was born.
Right.
Because now after all the centuries and maybe a couple of millennia of prophecies and all the things, the whole Tanakh, the whole Old Testament, talking about a time when this was going to happen, we have to really be excited and happy about the fact that it did in fact happen.
Yes.
Because if Messiah, Jesus, the God-man, God-man, both natures in the same being, 100% man, 100% God, not some mixture, 100% of each nature, not confused or somehow all blurred together, both natures in the same being, was actually born as a baby to be Messiah, to be Redeemer, to be Savior.
A son is given.
Right, son is given. Child was born, a son is given.
We have to think back to when Abraham took Isaac up to the mountain to sacrifice him.
Hmm.
You know, Isaac looks around and says, Father, here's the stone and the wood, but where's the sacrifice?
Yeah.
And what does Abraham say?
Yeah.
God himself will provide
yes.
a sacrifice.
That's right.
You know, God himself will provide the lamb.
Reminds me of another Paul Wilbur song.
Yeah. And so even that prophecy that comes from Abraham is fulfilled.
Yes.
That God himself provides. He sends his son. A son is given.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know that when Jesus is born, you know, the angels appear and they tell the shepherds, you know, in the town of David, you know, the city of David, a savior is born for you. And they give them instructions as to what to go and do, you know, that they're going to find the infant in lying in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they go and they go to see this.
Yeah.
And they see, as we said last week, they see what others long to see.
Mm-hmm.
And they see the glory of God in this child.
Yes.
The fullness of the Godhead.
Yes.
In Christ.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's just amazing. And then they tell people what they had heard from the angels, and they're all astounded by this.
Yes.
And they're glorifying God. And, it had to just be an amazing, an amazing sight.
Yeah. I mean, this is the glory that Moses couldn't see.
Yep.
This was the glory that blew Isaiah away.
Yeah.
Now is in this baby. So and you know, we're not going to talk about when was Christmas, when was he really born, when is this, because this goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And if some of you don't want to celebrate it because it's a pagan feast, I think that's a little weird. We should be happy that he was born. We should commemorate that Messiah was in fact born.
Yeah.
Because, of course, has to be born.
I mean, it's God's greatest gift to us.
Yes.
How?
Yes.
You know, I think it has to be put in that context of
right.
God gave his son to us.
Yes.
That we would experience redemption.
Yes.
And be reunited with God.
Right.
Through the fullness of his son, who is both
right.
God and man.
Right.
And we get to see what others didn't.
That's right. And if you don't want to have a Christmas tree, fine. If you don't want to talk about Santa Claus, that's fine. But you have to keep in mind that Messiah was born in these circumstances.
Yes.
And after the whole plan of salvation through the Tanakh, now we have the God-man in a physical form that people can see.
Mm-hmm.
So Messiah is born, then how what's going to happen next? How is he going to be revealed? Well, you mentioned when he's born, there's angels singing, there's glory all around, and the shepherds are there first. They experience this. They come and see what's going on. They are looking at Messiah. You know, the shepherds were kind of the lower class, sort of low life types,
right?
Shifty people weren't allowed to testify in court.
They're untrustworthy.
They're the ones that are the first ones to see him, other, of course, than Mary and Joseph.
Isn't that amazing in itself?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Those who are maybe like almost outcasts of the society,
exactly.
The angels come and say, and I mean, you know, it's kind of like when Moses and Aaron are at the, you know, at the foot of Mount Sinai. And the glory of God is there. There's clouds, there's lightning, there's thunder, and all this is going on. And God's there, present.
Yeah.
Moses goes up to the mountain.
Yeah.
And what do the people do?
Yeah.
They build a calf.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
Moses, I don't think he's coming back.
I don't think he's coming back. Here, a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." I mean, you know, to see the heavenly host singing that.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean,
announced by angels.
Yeah.
And then lower class humans come as the first ones.
Yeah.
Not the religious community. The Pharisees didn't come. The high priest didn't come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of like, here's the God man in this poor setting. Angels are singing. These poor people come. His, you know, mother and foster father, they're not exactly like, you know, really rich people that decided to have this baby. They are really poor people that are struggling to make a living.
And they're acting in faith on what's happening in their life.
Faith, exactly.
You know, it's not like they had everything planned out and said, now that Jesus is born, our life's going to be easy.
Yeah.
Because it certainly wasn't.
Yeah, we got the Messiah with us.
Problems room.
When you see, you know, you can go back to Luke chapter 1 when Gabriel comes to Mary and tells her what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's referred to as the Annunciation.
Right.
She could have said, "Nah, man, I don't think I want to do that because I'm going to school and then I'm going to go to college and then I'm going to get a job. No, I don't want to do it. That sounds pretty weird." She submits in faith. You know, let it be done to me according to your word.
And certainly Mary knows that if a female is pregnant out of wedlock.
Oh, yes.
What does that mean?
That's right.
Almost certain death.
She has the faith to accept.
Yeah.
Then Joseph, who's upset, doesn't want to hurt her, but is kind of upset. He's looking for a way to put her away, it says, or divorce her. They weren't married. Yeah. They were betrothed.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to be with her now. But he doesn't want to hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
And then when an angel says to him, no, don't worry.
Right.
She hasn't been with anybody. This is a holy baby. You're going to name him Yeshua, Jesus, because he's going to save people from their sins. He says, okay. So in faith, he says, I'm going to believe this.
Yeah.
and I'm going to do God's will because I believe this now.
Just like Abraham believed.
That's right. And it was counted as righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's through faith. So then when this baby's born and when these people have seen him, now comes two events that show how Mary and Joseph lived, why they did the things they did, the environment they lived in, and the fact that they were committed to the law. They were committed to God in the covenant of law, in what we call the Old Testament, the older covenant.
Right.
And
established with Abraham.
Established through Abraham. And why don't you read about the first thing that happens to the baby is the first thing that happens to every Jewish boy who's born happens on day 8.
Mm.
You want to read that?
Yes. we're in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Ooh, let's stop there for a minute.
Or as Mary would call him, Yeshua.
Yeshua. So here's little baby Yeshua. Now, Mary and Joseph didn't say, I think the 8th day would be a good day to do this.
They didn't pick that themselves?
It fits into our schedule, and we want to get this done before we head back to Nazareth. Or, you know,
right.
The law says when you have a baby boy on the 8th day, he is circumcised, sign that he's in the covenant, and he's given his name.
Yes.
The baby of Bathsheba and David who dies isn't named because he dies before the 8th day. We don't know what the boy's name was. He didn't have a name.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in heaven without a name, but maybe someday we'll meet him. Maybe he has a name now, but he didn't have a name then.
Right.
Because the law says 8th day, you give the name, you do the circumcision. And his name was called Yeshua, the name the angel gave him before he was conceived.
Right.
So when you are a Jewish couple and you have a baby boy, on day 8, you go there and somebody does the circumcision, or somebody comes to your house and does the circumcision, and you say, this boy's name is Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
No, Yeshua.
I'm saying, if you're a regular couple, okay, whatever you name them, this is baby Ralph. So, you know, but they are following the law. And as you know, you've heard me say before, it would have never crossed Mary and Joseph's mind to say, well, you know, 8th day doesn't really work out on our schedule. Can we do it like 2 weeks? Can we do it like 3 weeks later?
Right.
Because that'll be a lot better. I'll be off work that day and my mother's going to be in town. And right. Like, we would do that. But they followed the law. It's the 8th day.
Mm-hmm.
He's given the name Yeshua, which means salvation.
Yes.
God saves salvation.
Mm-hmm.
His name is what he does. His name is the job description that he has.
It's a whole identity and purpose.
Right. So when the angel says his name is going to be Yeshua, it isn't just a name that they would say, that would be a nice name for this boy.
Yeah.
Let's name him Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
I've always liked that name. Like we name our kids.
Right.
That's not how it works. Again, they obey. They know that this is from God. So whoever does the circumcision, and we don't know who it is, says, so what are you guys naming your baby?
Mm-hmm.
And without missing a beat, they say Yeshua, because we're following the law. We're following faith.
It's just like when Zechariah and Elizabeth, what are you going to name the boy?
Yes.
John.
Yeah.
John.
Yeah. Nobody in your family's ever had that name.
What do you mean? So they're following,
yes,
what has been given them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, here again, we have the example of how this is literally a flesh and blood human baby because he's circumcised. This is not an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not some cosmic projection or something.
Right.
It's a real body. Somebody comes and does the circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who. And the baby would have cried. There might have been a little bit of blood.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been the first time that Jesus shed some of his blood. Would have been at a time where He's being brought into the covenant. This is a sign of the covenant.
Life with God.
Yes, amen. And, you know, in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, you know, he had the likeness of sinful flesh. Mm-hmm. The guy, the man who was doing the circumcision, didn't come in and say, oh, this must be the God man. He said, oh, okay, here's the baby, and okay, let's do this, and what's his name? Okay. They probably paid him whatever his fee was, and
right.
off he went.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's doing the things that anyone would do in that setting to follow God's law.
Right.
And he didn't have to do it. He was the Messiah. In fact, he's the one who made the law. He's the one who made the covenant. He was the Shekinah glory. He was God. He was the one who spoke to Moses. He was the one who gave the law.
Right.
But he comes into the covenant.
And submits to it.
And submits to it.
Yeah.
He becomes a servant.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes on the whole law. Like it says, you know, in Galatians 4, he's born of a woman, born under the law. He takes this on himself for our sake.
Yes.
So even though he was son, capital S, he takes on the sign of the covenant. He takes on the law.
Yeah. Yeah. What you bring up in Galatians, let me get there real quick.
I think that's on our website.
That is on our website. that he was born under the law to save those who, you know,
who were under the law.
You know, so he submits to the law. The important thing is he's in the covenant, because the covenant that was established with Abraham was given by a sign of circumcision.
Yes.
If you were, that meant that you had life with God, life in God. And that's what the covenant is all about. And sometimes it seems in our culture, we don't understand covenant and a covenant relationship, especially with God,
mm-hmm.
and the covenant that Jesus established in his own blood, that he ratified in his own blood, that gives us eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes I talk to people and they want to, you know, they want their children to decide for themselves that they want to believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how crazy is that? Do you want your child to have eternal life, or do you want them to be condemned to eternal hell?
It's a very serious thing.
It's a very serious thing, and we treat it as, oh, well, you know, it's not no big deal. Just they'll decide what they want.
When they're older.
Is your commitment, is your relationship with God important enough? Do you understand it enough to understand that it is the fullness of life in God to share that with those whom you love?
Yeah, amen. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, back in Isaiah chapter 7, when we talked about that, he said this boy was going to be named Emmanuel.
Yeah.
Which means God with us.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, this is nice. And Yeshua, salvation.
Woo. Remember, check out giftsofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in a minute.
It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long live the world in sin and near abiding. Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder lives a new and glorious morn. His name, all creation shall see.
Stockings for Change is a new nonprofit organization. We provide Christmas stockings filled with age-appropriate personal care items to kids in the foster care system. Stockings for Change will also provide these items in cinch sack backpacks to kids in emergency transition situations throughout the year. You can make a donation by going to our website, www.stockingsforchange.org. Thank you so much, and please pray for us, make a donation, and keep us in your thoughts throughout the year. Merry Christmas.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Now we just talked about the circumcision and coming into the covenant. Now we go to the next part of coming into the covenant, the next part that you do when you have a baby boy. And this is in Luke chapter 2 also, it's verses 22 to 38. And you've all heard this before, but we're going to have Steve read it and then talk about it a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Messiah of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The children's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself assured a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem.
So two people. Let's talk about Simeon. He's kind of interesting here.
Yes.
So this is commonly called the presentation in the temple. And, you know, if you've noticed, and you may be in a church that does this, many Christian churches are now having presentations of babies.
Mm-hmm.
But the law said if you notice, this was talking about the law. This is in Exodus 13:2. You can read this for your homework. But this is part of the law of Moses, that when you have a baby boy, you present him at day 40. When you have a baby girl, you present her at day 66. So, and I don't know why it's 40 and 66, but it's God's law.
It's God's law.
That's all I can say. So according to the law, 40 days. Mm-hmm. So again, Mary and Joseph submit to the law. They don't say, well, 40's, you know, what's the big deal about that?
Mm-hmm.
We'll do it next year or next
right.
week or some other time. We'll do it when we get back from vacation. We'll do it, after Christmas. Oh no, wait a minute. they were there at day 40 because they were submitting to the law. And the firstborn male is called holy to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, the comparisons made too in the book of Exodus, when you look back at this, the firstborn of the Egyptians is killed. The firstborn of the Jews is holy to the Lord. So there's a dichotomy there. There's a difference of the approach. So the mm-hmm. first male is holy to the Lord. And it's on day 40. Now, it talks about their purification, because if you're a woman, you're ritualistically unclean for 40 days after you have a baby boy.
Mm-hmm.
You're ritualistically unclean as long as there's any discharge coming from your body, including menstrual cycle.
Mm-hmm.
During menses, a woman's ritualistically unclean, can't go to the temple. And I don't know why that is, but it's God's law.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after a baby's born, you know, there's some discharge that goes on for some period of time.
Right.
So the woman is ritualistically unclean. It has to be purified.
Mm-hmm.
So while this is going on, Mary has to be in a mikvah, which is a ritualistic bath with flowing fresh water. She's clean, then goes into the temple with the baby. She can't go into the temple until she takes the mikvah bath.
Mm-hmm.
This is the law. And she wouldn't have said, hey, what's the big deal about that? I don't feel like doing that. I don't feel like going in that water. I don't want to. She did it because she follows the law.
Yeah.
Exactly. And she subjects herself to the covenant and subjects her baby to the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, Jesus as God, as the author of the covenant, as the author of the law, subjects himself to the law.
Yeah.
Divine Jesus, who's inside little baby Jesus, could say, you know what, I don't have to do this. I'm the one who made this. But he subjects himself to the covenant. And interestingly, they get to what happens at these presentations. We don't know exactly because the prayers and the ceremony is right. not actually outlined. Mm-hmm. But the baby is presented to yeah. God.
And I think this is very important to see that, you know, at 8 days old, a little baby can't speak for itself.
Right.
Pretty, you know, even at 40 days old, a little baby is not going to be able to speak for itself. So its no. parents have the responsibility of
exactly.
speaking for yeah. their child.
Good point. You know, excellent point.
The baby doesn't walk into the temple on the 40th day by himself and go,
right.
all right, I'm here to present myself. You know, no, right. it's the parents because right. that's the order that God created it.
Yes. That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
And Mary and Joseph didn't say, well, when he gets a little bit older, he can decide if he wants to be presented
yeah.
or not.
And Mary doesn't say, hey, don't you remember what the angel Gabriel told me?
Yeah.
This is going to be a child of the Most High. Why should I have to go through this?
Exactly.
Mary doesn't say any of that.
That's right.
There's no pride
That's right.
involved in any of this.
Right.
They humbly submit themselves to God's law.
Yes. It's a surrender.
Yeah.
And again, like you pointed out last week, it goes back to Abraham. You know, Abraham believed and it was counted as righteousness.
Yes.
Abraham obeyed. It was counted as righteousness.
Yes.
Does it mean that, you know, Abraham was perfectly righteous every minute of the day? No. But his faith was counted as righteousness.
Right.
So they submitted to the covenant.
Yeah.
And even Jesus as an adult submits himself yeah. to the law.
You know, as you know, what you're saying is they heard and obeyed.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
there was no question in their mind this was yeah. what they had to do.
Yeah, they heard
no,
and obeyed.
No question. It's not a matter of we don't feel like doing it, or maybe we'll do it when we get around to it, like we would say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't feel like going today. I'll, you know, go some other time.
Yeah.
So interestingly, this baby, the God man, comes from the Father, and now a human priest, the human Levitical priest, presents him to the Father. it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
It's like, here's God in human form that just came from the Father. The priest now presents him to the Father.
Back to the Father.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. So, you know, he's the mediator, and he's presented to the Father. He's called holy unto the Lord because he's the firstborn male, and he is holy and is Lord, but he's presented again, interestingly. Mm-hmm. And when, if you go on the website and look at, there's some studies about under 1 Samuel in the Bible studies part of the website, you know, Hannah, Samuel's mother, took little baby Samuel to the tent, left him with the high priest, mm-hmm. and he stayed there.
Right.
Took all his toys, his little PJs, all his stuff, and took him over there. Now, Jesus doesn't stay in the temple.
Right.
He's presented in the temple, and then they leave. Mm-hmm. His ministry goes around. He comes to the temple periodically. But, you know, he's one greater than the temple, as he says about himself.
Right.
He's, no, his presence isn't just confined to the one place.
Mm-hmm.
And at this presentation ceremony, Mary makes the offering that's prescribed by the law, the turtle doves or the pigeons.
Right.
And if you actually look back, and it's in Leviticus 12, it's verses 6-8, if you want to read that for your homework. If you can afford it, you're supposed to offer a yearling lamb. But if you're poor, you can offer two turtle doves or two pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, they were poor.
They were poor.
Didn't have the wise man's gold yet. Because if they'd have had the guy's gold, they'd have said, hey, get a lamb. But anyway, so, you know, they fulfilled all righteousness. You know, even when Jesus is baptized by John, and John says, you know what? I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me.
Yeah.
Jesus says, you have to do this to fulfill all righteousness.
Yeah.
This is the plan. You got to do the plan.
Mm-hmm.
This is covenant. You got to do the covenant.
Yeah.
Here I am. Now baptize me so we can get started here.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing thing, really, to see how humanity is involved in the plan, right down to Messiah being human,
mm-hmm.
and God, of course, but being human,
right.
And all of humanity and all the customs and all the traditions, and especially the law, is all involved in this.
Right.
And I think it's so important to study that to get a full picture of what salvation is. To study the Torah, to study the prophets, so you see why these things were happening.
Yeah, you know, when Jesus says, you know, to John, allow it now, for it's the fulfillment of all righteousness. That's a gigantic statement.
Ooh.
I mean, one that I think is probably overlooked by a lot of times, what that really, you know, what the importance of what's taking place.
Yeah.
You know, nothing is too small
mm-hmm.
to be overlooked in God's plan.
Yeah, that's a good point.
even the simple exchange of being, or not exchange, but even the simple act of being baptized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let it happen now, because you know it's the fulfillment of all righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's an example to us as Jesus says to his, you know, his disciples a lot, you know, no servant is greater than his master.
Yeah.
And if we're going to be a disciple, we have to follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, you know, if we think we're going to try and correct some things that Jesus did, we'll really not be a disciple. If we think we're finding things that aren't right, then we really need to examine our own heart and our own conscience and say, okay, Lord, show me what this is about, because I'm not greater than you. I'm the creature, you're the creator. And, you know, when we get out of balance, when pride gets in the way, we become like, you know, Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Pride begot him and he fell.
Yeah.
And pride always tries to crouch in and say, well, wait a minute, I'm a little bit more important than God, but I'm not, you know, mm-hmm. and that's the first temptation of sin, the first fall, you know, and it happened to Adam and Eve in the garden. And so what's happening here with Mary and Joseph obeying the law of God, obeying the commands, obeying what God had given to the covenant with Abraham, and the fulfillment of all righteousness is critically important in God's plan of salvation. Mm. You know, for Jesus to do not his own will. I didn't come to do the will of my own will, but I came to do the will of the one who sent me. Mm. You know, and he's the fullness of God. He's begotten of God.
Wow.
And he's in union with God.
Yeah. Wow. All in the plan of salvation.
Yeah.
And even though, you know, he's born in these humble circumstances, mm-hmm. doesn't change that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's born in this humble place. You probably all have nativity scenes in your house. You have them at your church. You have them. Mm-hmm. Well, we can't put them out in public anymore because, after all, many people would be offended.
Heaven
by that.
Forbid.
yeah.
Let them be offended.
But you've you've all seen the manger scenes, and
yep.
if you look at the real, I mean, the manger scenes we have, of course, are all cleaned up nice, and all mm-hmm. the characters look so
prim and proper.
Nice and clean and happy and
yeah.
But it would have been a pretty messy sight. Mary right. would have been a mess. Joseph would have been sweating. It would have been, you know, blood and
yeah.
mess everywhere, and you know, shepherds would have been coming in and saying, "Oh man,"
and they would have been smelly.
You had a baby here, yeah, and they'd have been smelly. And they'd say, "Man, this poor girl had a baby in this dump."
Yeah.
That would have been pretty bad. I mean, not a delivery room at a hospital,
not sanitized,
nothing sterilized, and
nothing.
You know, he's born in this humble, horrible, dirty place, but outside there's angels singing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's angels singing glory to him, and he's in this messy place that animals eat out of. Doesn't say what animals are there, but a manger's a place you put hay in it and the cows ate out of it.
Right.
So he's in this humble place, and there's angels outside singing.
Yeah.
Then these two humble people, we know Mary was pretty young. We don't know how old Joseph was, but, you know, here comes this couple with this 40-day-old baby, and like we say, they didn't have a lot of money. They didn't pull up in a nice, beautiful new carriage and horse and so forth. They were pretty humble, poor people. They come walking into the temple with this new baby, and two prophets are there that start giving this baby glory.
Yeah.
Under inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit inspires both of them to glorify this baby. Now, it doesn't tell us, you know, who, if anybody else is standing around. I mean, people who would have been standing around who would have heard this, so what's that guy talking about?
Right.
You know, these right. people look like a mess. What's this guy talking about? It because, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with the appearance of the place. They were in a beautiful temple that had beautiful stone and precious jewels and all kind of brass and gold and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they were poor. They were humble.
Right.
But there's prophets there. And Simeon, who's my favorite of the two, I mean, nothing against Anna, but Simeon, you know, he's been told by the Holy Spirit he's not going to die till he sees the Messiah.
That in itself is awesome.
That's amazing.
I mean, you know, we've been talking, you know, the last four shows through the season of Advent about all that's been revealed about the, you know, the foretelling of the birth of Messiah, the coming of Messiah, all that Isaiah wrote, Micah, yeah. and they didn't give a specific time.
Right.
Obviously.
That's right.
But in this time, the Holy Spirit speaks to Simeon and says, tells him, you're not going to see death until you see the consolation,
yeah,
the salvation of Israel.
Yes. Which is what they've been waiting for.
Ooh. Well, this is a great Christmas song.
Yeah. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
In your prayer.
Stockings for Change is a new nonprofit organization. We provide Christmas stockings filled with age-appropriate personal care items to kids in the foster care system. Stockings for Change will also provide these items in cinch sack backpacks to kids in emergency transition situations throughout the year. You can make a donation by going to our website, www.stockingsforchange.org. Thank you so much, and please pray for us, make a donation, and keep us in your thoughts throughout the year. Merry Christmas.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. This is the last segment of 2014.
I know.
So Simeon, so he's filled with the Spirit. The Spirit says he's not going to die before he sees the consolation of Israel, which is going to be the Messiah. So the Spirit tells him to go to the temple because they're coming. You know, remember last time, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the beginning of Malachi chapter 3, where it says, the Lord you seek, he'll suddenly come to the temple.
Yeah.
So he suddenly comes to the temple. I mean, this is so Messiah coming to the temple.
Yeah.
As a 40-day-old baby who can't do anything other than cry and eat and go to the bathroom. I mean, that's all a baby can do at 40 days old.
Yeah.
But the Messiah that they've been seeking for 2,000 years or 2,500 years suddenly comes to the temple.
Yeah.
His temple. It's his house. He's the Shekinah that was in the temple. Mm-hmm. He was in the Holy of Holies when the Shekinah was there. So he suddenly comes to the temple. And it's such an amazing thing because Malachi says he's the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. See, we delight in him because he's our Savior, he's our Redeemer, he's the messenger of the new covenant. And he comes there, Simeon waiting, and Simeon can't even stand it anymore. He just takes the baby in his arms. And so poor Mary goes, what's this old guy doing with my baby? He just takes his baby and says, now I can die because I've seen the salvation of God.
I mean, you know, if you think about that just for more than a passing second.
Yeah.
Imagine yourself as the mother of this newborn infant, and some old man in the temple takes him out of your arms and says this.
Yeah.
What are you going to think? Yeah. Now, granted, the angel Gabriel had already come to Mary and said that she was going to bear a child that would be the Messiah. And Simeon says, what does he tell her? This child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel.
Yeah.
You know, and a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people, Israel.
Ooh, that sums it up.
And all the people saw your glory and it shines through the age, like as Paul's singing about in that song, Show Me Your Face.
Yes.
I mean, it's a fulfillment of God. It's part of the fulfillment of God's plan.
Yes.
That his son would be born. And one of the greatest events in human history. And, you know, we celebrate this, we remember this, because it's part of our faith journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of who we are.
Exactly.
You know, if we're in God's covenant, we're in the family of God. Well, if I'm in a family, do I want to know who my mom and dad are?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do I want to know who my grandparents are?
Mm-hmm.
What about my great-grandparents?
Mm-hmm.
What about my great-great-grandparents? Or are they just distant memories and they really don't matter? You know, it's how do I approach my concept of family and covenant? And how do I see that? And is it important to me enough to go back and find where I come from and who I am?
Yeah.
You know, am I just, you know, a wandering schmuck and, you know, I have no plan or does God have a plan for me? And he invites me into his covenant through the birth, death, and resurrection of his son.
Ooh. Exactly.
You know, am I an adopted son and daughter purchased at the blood of the Lamb?
Mm-hmm.
And now God has a plan for me.
Yeah. We've been bought with a price.
You know, do I want to seek his face and call him daddy, Abba?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's so amazing too that we were talking about Isaiah through the shows and Advent. Now, Simeon says, this is a light to the Gentiles. So, you know, Mary and Joseph are probably thinking, Gentiles? What's Gentiles have to do with this little Jewish boy? I mean, it would have been incomprehensible.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the glory of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Israel had glory. They had God, Yahweh, the God of Israel. They had a beautiful temple. They had the Torah. They had the prophets. They had the worship. They had the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
They had this beautiful structure that was the temple, which was where God resided on earth.
Right.
Those were the glory of Israel.
Yeah.
But now Simeon says this baby is the glory of Israel, a 40-day-old baby.
Yeah.
Now, again, if you're walking by and this old man's holding this 40-day-old boy and says this is the glory of Israel, people would turn and go, what? This is a 40-day-old baby.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the glory of Israel. He's going to be light. This was the plan of salvation that was put together before anything was created. You know, the scripture says the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
Then here it is now coming to fruition, coming to start rolling now in a 40-day-old baby who's the glory of Israel and light to the nations. And Simeon is so blown away that he says, so now I can die.
Yeah.
Because I've seen this. Yeah. I mean, he wanted to see Messiah. Now he saw him. Everything else wasn't really very important to him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like when you think back to Moses, you know, Moses wanted to live longer. He wanted to go see the land. He wanted to go into the land. God says, well, you're not going to go into the land. He says, oh, come on, man. I want to go into the land. Simeon doesn't care if he lives anymore or not.
Yeah.
He says, now I can die because I've seen the Messiah. What else is there for me to see?
Yeah.
Because now, you know, he got saved. Now he's ready. He's ready to go.
Yeah.
And, it's really, he's really such an amazing character in all of this. The way he describes the glory and then the falling and rising of many in Israel. I mean, yeah. Whoa. I mean, 33 years later, this really starts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, 33 years later, we see the whole, you know, the whole change of power, the whole change of the whole, you know, nation.
Yeah.
Or city of Jerusalem
is
turned upside down.
Yes. Yes. Rising and falling. People are being broken down. People are being raised up.
Yeah.
These humble Galilean fishermen and, you know, sort of working class, who cares who these guys are, start to become the important people in the world. Mm-hmm. The ruling class, the religious class, the Pharisees, the like really nice looking, holy looking people. They're brought down. You know, Saul/Paul, you know, gets totally changed.
Yeah.
You know, the lowly are raised up, as Mary says in the Magnificat, the lowly are raised up.
Yeah.
And all these things are going to happen because of this 40-day-old baby.
Yeah.
He's going to be an offense to some, a stumbling stone to some, but to those who accept him, he's going to be Messiah, leader. And they're going to be the ones raised up. I can't believe the show's over.
I know.
Well, not only I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day, but I want to say Happy New Year to everyone from Gift of Grace Ministries and our staff.
And we just pray that the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, that the light of Christ would just be born into your heart as we continue through this Christmas season. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.